Hey, everybody, it's Corey Poindexter here with Bob Feckety, and welcome to another episode of Small Package.
You know
today on Small Package, we're getting amped up.
We got amp in the house.
Then we're going to hashtag respect the Miz.
I know you just love that Miz.
I'm keeping it up. Then we're going to talk about SummerSlam results, SmackDown results, Raw results, and Bob's going to suck the Cruiserweight Classic's dick. All here today.
It's just so good, Corey.
On Small Package.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. A lot of energy in the opening. Now we can settle into the show.
Right, and you haven't had any amp.
I've not had it yet.
Despite what you may want to think, you have not had any amp.
I'm amped on life, and I'm amped on the Miz. And you know it.
Let's do this chronologically. A lot of wrestling happened this week. A lot of wrestling happened.
Hey, everybody.
So let's do this chronologically.
Small Package.
Chronologically, we start with the first of 2 hours of a pre-show.
Oh, of course. Yeah. We got to go. We got to get in the way back machine.
And you want to know what happened first? I think first? It's either first or after the first match. It may have been second. The point is, Baron Corbin walked out to the pre-show panel, and he was like calling Kalisto out. He took the gum out of his mouth and stuck it on King's paper. Like, he was being a little bully. And I hate Baron Corbin.
Oh, it was great.
Because he's boring.
Oh, no, but
I thought that promo thing was great. I was like, wow, I actually care about Baron now.
When you said hate before, you meant, like, didn't care about him.
Yeah, he's just so... Yeah,
hate, you mean, like, you dislike
hate
him.
As in
he's a bully.
Hate as in the bad way of getting heat, as in you're boring. Not the good way of getting heat, as in you're being a heel.
Right.
He was just so dull to me, but now he's being a bully, and I like Kalisto, so I'm excited to see him get into a new feud.
Oh yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, and honestly, that real quick, not to divert, but the kickoff show, Talking Smack, WWE's been producing some great content outside of the ring right now that is advancing the story.
Yes. I was going to say, we always talk about their great out-of-the-ring content that they produce, but
I'm specifically talking about the promos.
Yes. The wrestling-related out-of-the-ring stuff.
I mean, we could do an entire podcast every week about
Swerved.
About Swerved. That may be an unpopular opinion. I feel like the show's fantastic. Let's not get back on the Swerve train. Otherwise, we're just gonna end up going.
So the three matches of the pre-show, we have the tag teams.
The tag teams
of SmackDown.
The craziness.
We had 12-man tag
American
team
Alpha,
match.
The Usos.
That's just so crazy.
And the Hype Bros versus Breezango, Ascension, and Vaudevillains. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that we both very successfully predicted that the Faces would win that one.
Yes.
In fact, I'll pull up our
you'll
thing.
Pull up my immaculate prediction.
Oh my god, dude. You really wiped the floors with me. I almost said wipe my ass, but that's
I would
wrong.
Never do that, regardless of how much I beat you.
Incorrect, sir. Yeah, you definitely nailed the whole predictions thing.
But we have so
multi team. Yeah.
While the huge tag match may have been a little dull, it had a very interesting character advancement potentially from the Usos.
Oh right, yeah, I forgot.
Because AA, you know, they show up on the scene. Mm-hmm. They're the hot team.
Oof.
They're unbeaten. They're just winning all over. They go to make the tag. They go to make the big move. They go to make the pin, and then Us is like slap on the back, steals the tag, steals the final move, steals the pin.
Gotti. Gotti, dude.
It was very much a heelish move. Maybe we're going to move towards an AA versus Usos in the future, and that mm-hmm. will definitely be relevant in our SmackDown talks.
Hell yeah. So that was the outcome of that, was the faces won. Then we had the Dudley Boys versus Zayn and Neville. I incorrectly predicted the Dudleys to win because I thought, hey, who knows, maybe they'll let them win to gain a little momentum.
And I correctly predicted that Neville is on a hot streak right now.
Well, in fairness too, I didn't know the Dudleys would retire the next night. Spoilers.
Yeah.
So anyway, which even more so, why wouldn't they get a last pay? Anyway, whatever. I'm fucking over it. So our third match was on the pre-show was Sheamus Cesaro, correct? That was the third pre-show match?
Yes, the third and final pre-show
match. And we both successfully predicted that Sheamus would win.
Yeah, I mean, Cesaro's technically 2-0 in their best of 9 series match, where the first two don't matter.
Right.
So they had to balance it out. Otherwise, it would just be Cesaro running train.
True. So, although Sheamus, in very nice heel fashion, did win off of an eye rake or an eye poke. So
yeah. So
makes sense. The rest of this, I don't have necessarily an order. I just sort of sorted them kind of loosely by importance. So I don't know if that matters to you. It certainly doesn't matter.
Well,
to me
let's see. Point. The next match would have been the Enzo and Cass versus KO match.
Although I guess it is worth mentioning the order because that was part of my gripe with SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with SummerSlam.
Spoilers. Well,
so now we're 2 hours into the night,
basically,
and we have 4 more to go.
Enzo and Cass.
Enzo and Cass versus Jarrett KO.
Canada Dads.
And I correctly predicted this one, too.
Yes, you did.
For Corey.
Yes, you did.
You
had Canadads winning. I thought Enzo and Cass were too hot.
Honestly, I was feeling that they were too hot. They haven't really been slowed down, even through Enzo's injury. You know, right. Cass was still rolling train. And so, like, they needed something to stop them. Like, kayfabe wise, otherwise why not just get the tag titles?
And
I don't know,
let's be fair, so the tag match was a little clunky, but that's what happens when you have 12 men in a match.
Yeah.
Okay. Dudley Boys versus Zayn and Neville
was okay.
I mean, it's forgettable, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And Cesaro Sheamus was a pretty solid match.
Uh-huh.
I would say, I mean, it was a pretty solid match.
Yeah, it was like Raw main event caliber.
Gotcha. So then we go into the Enzo and Cass match versus Jericho again.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was a good way to start the crowd hot for the pay-per-view with a big Enzo and Cass entrance in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And then a nice little promo, although it was crazy, but it always is with Enzo. But then we go, keep in mind, this is the second match of the card proper, women's championship match, real early. I mean, before IC, before US, before a lot of bullshit
matches.
Before
all the other non-point... Before the fucking SmackDown tag women's match, like...
Which, let's be for real. Kayfabe, you're not setting a good precedent for the importance of a belt by putting it on that early. Which also, spoilers, is part of the problem that I had with the SmackDown WWE world title going on halfway into the card. Like, I feel like your world titles should definitely be much later in the night, and the women's championship, they're giving it so much respect and so much hype. Second match of the night,
man.
So
anyway,
Sasha
it was
and Charlotte
a good
put
match
on.
Had a pretty creative little ending. I mean,
yeah.
So real talk, this was nowhere near their Raw championship.
Oh
match.
No!
Like that match is one of the best matches I've seen. Like
it was great.
As far as women's matches go, it's in the top 5 easy, like all time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Sasha has been a part of a lot of the top women's matches. I mean, Charlotte and Natalya had a great match while she was in NXT. And then, of course, the Sasha-Bailey matches have to go up there. Becky's put on some great performances in NXT. But I would definitely say that Monday Night Raw, in terms of women's performances, I wouldn't necessarily say just the wrestling matches, but like women's performances, storytelling and wrestling combined, easily top 10, if not top 5.
Yeah. It was amazing. And so it's, you know, it sucks that they had to follow themselves up.
Yeah.
But the match was still good, you know.
A lot of risky moves.
A lot of risky moves. And apparently Sasha was wrestling with a legit back injury the entire time.
Which makes it more impressive, but also makes some of the riskier moves a little silly that they did.
Yeah. And then Swerve City, Charlotte gets the belt back.
Woo!
I
was a little shocked. I don't know if you...
I think we both called Sasha retaining.
Mm-hmm, we did. You know,
that was one of my like two or three losses on the whole night.
You had a grand total of 4 incorrect picks. Sasha...
out of 13 matches.
Sasha, the face women winning. But I feel like neither of us would have called the face women if we knew that Nikki Bella was coming back.
Yeah.
You called the face women winning. You called New Day losing the titles.
Oh.
You called Sasha retaining and Rollins winning that match. Spoilers. But we're about to spoil them anyway, so.
Right. The fuck are you bitching about? You'll be listening this on Friday anyway if you don't know what happened on Sunday.
Get the fuck out of here!
What are you doing? You're not a real fan.
Not a real fan. Yeah, let's. You know what? Fuck the rest of this paper podcast. Let's just spend the rest of it berating the people listening. All like 4 people. Hey. Will McGirl, Nico, Gabe Ross, and some random guy from a Serbia, apparently. What the fuck are you doing?
Anyway.
Chinx Poke, you owe me an Amp Energy drink in a couple minutes. Right here on Smack, a small package.
Wow, nice. Nice. Bacha Mania.
You fucked up. I mean, can we be for real? I am definitely the JBL to your Mauro Ranallo. You are up to date. You know what you're talking about at this point. You're fresh on the wrestling scene and yet still more knowledgeable than the people who've been here for years before you. And then you've got me, loud as fuck, always talking over you. Slight southern accent, but you can tell it's not real. And I'm just like, oh boy, Bob, I'm just going to piss you off until you say something entertaining to the fans.
Fair enough.
That's our dynamic. Mamma mia.
Mamma mia.
That's a spicy meatball. So next we had... And this will all come into play later.
So after the women's belt match,
Apollo Crews loses to The Miz, and The Miz retains his Intercontinental Championship, and it should be noted, he did it clean.
Yeah.
There was no heel work.
No heel work. No Maryse interference.
He wrestled a great match.
It was not that great. It was fine.
It was
forgettable.
Apollo.
In a match of forgettable matches, in a night of forgettable matches, it was one of the more forgettable ones.
What I would say is that The Miz wrestled very well. Apollo, not so much. The Miz, I felt like, carried a lot of that match.
Yeah, I can give you that.
So, and regardless of that, The Miz as a character won clean, and that will come back very soon. So, The Miz, and I think... I got that wrong. You called
Cruz winning.
No.
I? No.
You called Miz retaining.
Oh, wow.
And I called Cruz winning. And the reason I said that was because I thought they were going to continue Apollo Crews's push. And you said that they were going to save the belt for someone a little bit hotter and more talented than Cruz. And so you were right and I was wrong. Although in retrospect, that pick makes no sense why I would go against my boy.
Yeah, I don't know why you picked Cruz anyway.
Shrug emoji, dude. So so next we had beat up John Cena.
The match of the night, you mean?
It was the
match of the night at 8 p.m.
Which is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, because we still have 3 more hours of wrestling to go.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely at least an hour in. It was at least 9.
No, it started at 7, dude. It was an hour in at 8.
Okay. All right. You know what? Now it's all coming back to me now. I'd sort of made a mental block with this night. And I remember afterwards, within like the hours following it, I remember talking to him being like, wow, the only match I really remember was AJ Styles and John Cena and Finn Balor won. And that's pretty much all I remembered.
Yeah. Except,
well, Orton.
What happened to those other 2 hours of wrestling?
2+.
Anyway, the point is,
match of the night.
It was Meltzer gave it a 4.5 stars.
Did he really?
Yeah,
deservingly so. Storytelling wise, that match was
storytelling amazing. Like it was the AJ Styles is the master of the 2.99 second kick out.
All right,
Jesus.
I remember one kick out in particular. Where and keep in mind, guys, Bob and I are smart asshole watching wrestling fans. we're sitting here analyzing storylines and, you know, spot calling. And, you know, we're really, it would, if you are just a casual WWE fan, you would probably not have much fun watching with us. Like, if you wanted to, like, unironically cheer for Roman Reigns, you would probably not have a great time watching wrestling with us, because we're sitting here being like, you know, it's really risky for Sasha to be doing that kind of a flip off of the turnbuckle, whereas everyone else would just be watching.
Yeah,
you know,
she did a move! That was insane, dude! And she got titties!
Because that's also how most casual fans are, is like, yeah, women wrestling is hot, whereas, like, we're sitting here going like, you know, the women's wrestling is so technically spot on right now, and they're doing such great caliber
all right,
moves.
All right, enough patting yourself on the back. Just get to your point.
Oh. Okay, so anyway, yes, that being said, there was a kick out that AJ Styles had where Bob and I both stood up and went, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know if that was verbatim the words we used, but we were both like, what? Oh my God. No, that was a three count. And John Cena's like, that was a three count. And the rest are like, sorry, dude.
Yeah, no.
That's what happens.
It was the second turnbuckle AA, the avalanche AA, they call it.
That was great. Isn't it like, wouldn't that be a super AA because it's off of a turnbuckle?
They call it the avalanche AA. Right,
whatever. They call lots of things, lots of
anyway,
things. Anyway. Great match. We both
really
loved it.
Really, really great match. If you watch one match from SummerSlam, just make it that one.
Yeah. Or if you only have 7 minutes, watch Randy Orton's head get busted open. So anyway, next match on the card, WWE Tag Team Champions The New Day, who had John Stewart in their corner,
uh-huh,
as opposed to Big E.
Uh-huh.
Big E was out with ring postitis, versus the Doctors Club. And we both had the club winning. We both thought it was time.
It felt like time. It certainly, like, it's, even with John Stewart, New Day was feeling just hella stale. In Brooklyn, they weren't getting that big of pops. Mm-hmm. Maybe the fact that, you know, the crowd was, what, 4 hours into the event at that point?
At least.
Like, so
kickoff
that,
started at five.
This starts with the big problem of, you know, going on for the rest of the night, especially after having the match of the night at 8 p.m., you know, 3 hours in.
Yeah, the crowd was definitely dead.
Is that the crowd is just like, they're exhausted, rightfully so. You know, that
right.
They've already gone through one full Raw's length up to this point.
And this isn't even a joke. A lot of fans like to either pregame or tailgate before the event. So you also have to figure that there's a lot of people who showed up at 5 o'clock.
Either a little tipsy or a little drunk.
Yeah.
And are now sobering up and getting hung over in their seats.
Yeah. And so at this point, we are at least 4 hours into wrestling almost nonstop. And so it definitely affected both of the championship matches.
Oh, for sure.
Like the main titles, the world title and the universal title. The crowds are just, how can you be into it when you're exhausted? So yeah. John Stewart interfered and that didn't cost them the match. And then they were about to, the club was about to destroy John Stewart's balls. They even had a tiny
little
glass for
little
him.
Jar for John Stewart.
Ringside. When Big E comes out for the save in what is got a good pop from the crowd, but kayfabe is a little confusing that your face champions retained by DQ by having one of their members run in and interfere in the match.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, they're just, New Day's just feeling stale. And
Well, they did retain.
So they still have the belts.
And
which, I mean,
it is what it is.
It's like any second now, those things are dropping.
So they retain. Next up, again, pretty early, Dolph Ziggler, Dean Ambrose, World Championship match. I, for one, loved Ambrose's heel work.
Well, at this point, though, we only have the main event, the championship matches, and the women's tag match.
We had what is left on the card was that world championship match.
The women's
then
tag,
the women tag team.
Then the U.S.
Finn Balor, U.S.
Oh, right. The U.S. title match was
and Randy Orton.
Second to last. Anyway, yeah. Yeah. So
Dean and Ziggler get in the ring. Again, fine match.
But yeah, it was fine.
Ziggler sold the way that Ziggler usually sells.
Yeah. Dean was doing his doing some heel work.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked his, like, mimicking Dolph's, like, gyrations and hair stuff and right before hitting the Dirty Deeds for the final pin, like brushed Ziggler's cheek and then like pointed to the crowd or something like that, and then hit the Dirty Deeds, and it was like, ooh, what a dick thing to do.
Yeah, he also did the making fun of the tuning up the band.
Yeah, he did that too. It was fun. I feel like they're kind of turning him heel a little.
Yeah, he's definitely showing some edge. And that
Ambrose retains.
That match suffered from the crowd just being pooped.
Yeah, it's super exhausting.
It was definitely a better match than what you'd expect if you just heard the crowd reactions.
So then we had Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi versus Natalia, Alexa Bliss, and a surprise guest who turned out to be a returning
Nikki Bella
on the heel team, even though they knew that she was going to get a mega pop. I feel like the only reason she was on the heel team was because Eva Marie was the gap. Because they immediately on SmackDown turned her face again.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely was just there to fill a slot.
Eva Marie, which also I thought it was fucking weird and kind of hilarious that they went through her fucking intro.
Uh-huh.
And then instead of calling out her drug suspension, they were like, Eva Marie will not be appearing because of stress. And they were just like, she's stressed out, so she can't come. And it's like, oh, man. Maybe she should relieve her stress with Paige and Alberto Del Rio in a back room at a party.
Anyway. So, yeah. The heel women win.
We called faces, but we did not know that Nikki Bella would be on the
heel team. Yeah, we were anticipating somebody a lot less meaningful.
So that brought us to, and this is really unfortunate, a lot of things unfortunate about this match. Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, for what the crowd could not get over, was a hideous Universal title.
In all fairness, it looked ugly as sin. The screenshots that we have from the feed, it looks like the popular joke online is that it looks like a fruit roll-up.
Yeah, I could see that.
And it really does.
It's not very pretty looking.
It's the same exact belt that we already have, except with a really shitty red leather strap.
It's like an inversion of the women's almost. A little bit.
Well, no, it's more like an inversion of the heavyweight. Because they have like that red swoosh in front of W.
Heavyweight is now the world title, Bob. Get your kayfabe.
Point is... it's an ugly looking belt, and it doesn't look unique at all. It looks identical to what they already have.
The argument I've heard in favor of that is that they don't want to show favoritism to either brand. But
at the same time, it just doesn't look good. Kayfabe.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good.
Raw should be trying to make their belt look better because kayfabe,
they want
to
beat them.
They are trying to beat SmackDown.
Beat up SmackDown.
And if they named it the fucking Universal Belt,
which was also kind of a silly name, we've already talked about that.
Let's just make it look like the other belt, even though it's the fucking Universal Belt.
The Universe Belt. It should have been like made of stars.
Yeah. Right?
No, for real.
Or at least have a nice design or something.
I agree with you. I'm not a fan of the belt. I can understand the logic behind that, but and it didn't help that the crowd was already exhausted.
Yeah. And then they spent the entire match just pissing on the belt, which is a shame because it was a really good match.
Yeah,
except for one part.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But Brooklyn crowds also have a tendency to kind of make it about them. Is sort of a problem that has happened before.
Uh huh.
And I feel like it's a little different at the NXT shows because then they're all there for NXT. At the WWE main event shows and the pay-per-views in Brooklyn, they kind of sometimes hijack the show. And that's unfortunate, but it is a part of it. And so another unfortunate thing is that Seth Rollins keeps doing this goddamn move where he tosses people into the turnbuckle, but then takes it to the outside and tosses them into the barricade. And it's been risky before. We've seen dudes get banged up temporarily before. And
it
now
ended Sting's career.
Yeah, and now Finn Balor, who won the match, is on the shelf for 6 months because his shoulder, he had to pop it back into socket. I watched the replay where somebody was explaining what was happening.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, he just like knocks it back in there.
I didn't even notice because he was just sort of on the ground for a minute, and I didn't. And then I watched a replay of it where someone was like slowing it down, being like, here's where he pops it in. I was like, Jesus Christ, what a tough fucking bastard.
Yeah, because he goes on and does the rest of the match.
And he took a lot of...
would not be able to tell that he was even...
Oh, yeah. Because that was like halfway through the match. He took a ton of bumps after that. So anyway, Finn Balor fucked up his shoulder, and now he's out for 6 months. So he won the belt, and the next night he had to give it up on Raw.
He's the longest reigning and shortest reigning Universal title holder.
It's true. What were you saying the other day about how he's gone through an entire career already?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, he went through NXT, he got called up,
won the NXT title, too, before he got called up.
Right? He won the NXT title, got called up, became the number one contender, won the big belt, had to retire, had to lose to drop the belt the next night, got then the retire. Thank you chance.
You deserved it.
Right? And then the...
So, in 1 month, he's lived an entire career.
He's done the rise and fall of a WWE superstar.
24, Finn Balor. Behind the scenes of the career of Finn Balor. Just get his mom on there. So anyway, that match happened, and that was unfortunate. But not as unfortunate as the next match, which we kind of feel like there were changes made because of Finn Balor's injury. Because they knew by the time he got backstage that something was fucked. So we had a discussion that there's a possibility that the reason this match happened the way it did was because they of Finn Balor's injury. I mean, that would make sense. Yeah. That would make sense. So we were supposed to have a U.S. Championship match between Rusev and Roman Reigns. Instead, what we got was Roman Reigns coming out and getting into a scuffle with Rusev before the bell even rings. Rusev tries to hit Roman Reigns with a chair. They keep explicitly expressing that we are not even in the match yet. Roman took the chair and beat the shit out of Rusev. And then
they just called the match.
They kicked him out, and then he came back and hit a massive spear on Rusev, which kind of made Rusev look like shit. I didn't like that. I also didn't like the whole like fighting for Lana's honor and Roman won on Raw previous to that. I don't want them making Rusev look bad because he's been a great U.S. champion. He is good with the fans, but B, more importantly, he's a big dude. Looks strong, puts on good matches, and makes the belt seem more important. So stop shitting on your fucking champions, WWE. You piece of shit. Stop shitting on your shitty champions, WWE. So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts?
I mean, other than the fact that didn't really make it clear what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, the match is canceled.
Go home.
And everyone was like, why? Well, why didn't you like call it back before they were beating each other up?
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
Or early on in the beat up process.
Yeah. You know, like, you think after the first or second or third chair shot that they'd be like, oh, or, you know, have people running out trying to break them up and, you know, people waving their arms and the bell going off and,
Hey, Roman Reigns. Anyway, and then that led us to...
Right, so that dusty DQ finish.
That led us to something absolutely fucking brutal. What was built up as, you know, super crazy awesome match between Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar. 15 years
in the making.
Holy shit, did that end fast and bloody, making a lot of people question whether or not it was the original planned work ending, or if Brock Lesnar filled in with the Brock Lesnar conspiracy and just shooted, you know, elbows all over Randy Orton's face. Match never really got going. It started off with a bunch of suplexes. We counted 7 or 8.
Yeah. And then it went to the outside of the ring and Lesnar threw Orton through the announce table.
It was unreal. It was like tossing it. It was like a baby. He did it so easy. Like, the way that you would come home and toss your backpack is how he tossed. Like, he just didn't give a fuck. Like, yeah, get the fuck out of here.
And then Orton actually managed to hit an RKO on the announce.
A really nice RKO.
Yeah, on the American announce table.
It was a very nice RKO in his defense. And then he got the apron drop DDT on him.
Yeah.
Or the double rope.
Yeah, I mean, that's his offense. Mm-hmm. That was it.
He squared up for a punt. And we all got kind of excited because the punt is a move that we have not seen in a long time because they don't like him doing it the same way they banned the curb stomp. Instead of getting the punt off, what happened next will go down as the day Brock Lesnar single-handedly killed PG.
Yeah, he just starts throwing those bows.
At first he punches him a bunch of times, and then he goes into the corner and just takes his gloves off. And even the commentators are just like, oh, that's puzzling. Brock Lesnar is removing his gloves, and then in their own minds, you can almost hear them continue the sentence out, like not out loud, but he wears those gloves for the protection of others more than himself. Because when he punches, the dude's got bony fucking hands. So he starts throwing these punches into Randy Orton, and we're like, okay, calm down, Brock. And then he just starts using his fucking elbows. And when I say he splits Randy Orton's head open, like, it was like car crash bad.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so the plan seemed to have been to actually gash Randy open the hard way.
Really?
No blades. That seems to be the plan.
Maybe.
But it seems to me like they accidentally gashed too much.
They planned too good.
Yeah. He gashed a little too deep there.
The plan was to put him in the cage with a tiger and let him get mauled a little. We didn't know the tiger was just going to eat him.
So, yeah, after one DQ Dusty confusing finish, we get another very DQ Dusty confusing finish.
Back to back to end the card.
Right? And we go home going...
Oh, but you're forgetting. Ugh. Shane McMahon got F5'd.
Into the puddle of blood.
Into the puddle of blood, which is the metal version of puddle of mud. And he was F5'd into it. Also, real quick, I thought it was kind of funny that he borderline no-sold the F5 because he took it and he laid there with his eyes open for a minute, and then before Brock could even get halfway up the ramp, Shane was sitting up and looking bewildered, and I was just like, dude, Undertaker took an F5 and then laid there for like, he took like a two-minute nap. So Shane should have at least, I don't know, ruptured both of his hips. You know what I mean? Looked like the dude in Misery. Like, he should have at least been hobbled.
Hey, Shane can go toe-to-toe with The Undertaker. We'd all learn that.
The blood of your son is on your hands.
Anyway, it was just a very...
odd way to end the show.
Fizzling ending to a show that started fizzling an hour into it.
There was some really good moments in the show. But it was just too much content.
It's just that too wasn't long.
Good. It just wasn't good enough to
warrant. Honestly, WWE, like, 6 hours. Save yourself the hassle and spread yourself out. They announced 19 pay-per-views. 19 pay-per-views for the next year. Stop giving us 6-hour-long bullshit fests and give us 3-hour-long good fests.
In unrelated news. Small Package is now a quarterly podcast. I don't know if I can take a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, Bob. I don't know if I can emotionally handle a pay-per-view every 2 weeks. That's a lot.
It's, yeah.
Especially if they keep them all, like, you know, the 3-hour pay-per-views with, or like, you know what I mean? Like 3 hours with a 1 hour kickoff. That's a lot. Every 2 weeks. I mean, we got Backlash in 2 weeks, dude.
Yeah, September 11th.
Fuck. I mean, I'm super excited about it because SmackDown, while we both thought they drafted a weaker roster, have been doing a better job with
SmackDown's the roster. SmackDown's great. SmackDown's an amazing television show. And
we will get to that SmackDown in just a moment. That being said,
it's time to drink some amp.
Oh, yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. Amp. So, a little backstory real quick. Wait. When you open it up, I want to get the nice sound. Hold on. Let me up the mix level. 1 second. Here we go. This is us cracking the amp.
Oh, yeah.
Get that fizzle. You don't have to keep making noises for no reason. I was legitimately stuck to that. Oh, you were stuck to it. Let's get some nice can pouring sounds here. So a little bit of backstory. Bob is a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Bob is a journalist, and sometimes as a journalist, he gets cool shit. He took me one time to a Minecraft Telltale event, and I got a stuffed pig, and it was dope as fuck. Sometimes he gets cool shit in the mail. He is too humble of a journalist to self-brag, so I'll brag on his behalf. He writes great articles. I know he doesn't like to shamelessly plug, but I'll drive content for him. So if you happen to peruse iDigitalTimes.com, find Bob's articles and read them so that Bob can afford to have more fun. So, that being said, Bob, you want to tell the story about how we came to this Twitch-themed amp?
So, friends of the show, Amp Energy.
Shout out to Amp Energy. Friends of the show.
Friends of the show. Friends of the show, Amp Energy, noticed my Totino's Pizza Rolls articles because I write...
Hashtag Team Queso.
Friends of the show, dude, Totino's.
Hashtag Team Queso.
Friends of the show, hashtag Team Queso.
If you're on Twitter, get hashtag Team Queso going for, and then at Bob Feckety.
Amp Energy just launched a new flavor, and it's actually in partnership with Twitch. It's a Twitch-themed can, and the flavor is Tropical Punch. So we're going to try it out here and see what we think.
And this is sponsored by Twitch. Oh, not us, the drink.
Yeah, yeah.
The drink is Twitch-sponsored. Yeah. And real quick, before we read this, just to see if this matches what we taste, Twitch and Amp Energy have partnered to bring you this brand new Tropical Punch flavor Amp Energy drink so you can Twitch while you amp and amp while you Twitch.
So are they advertising that this beverage will make me Twitch?
I guess
because so. I don't know if I feel comfortable.
There's no hashtag amp level up, and then there's not really a description of the flavor.
It's Tropical Punch.
Yeah, I know, but I figured usually on cans like this they like to put fun stuff where they're like,
oh yeah,
with a smooth twist of tropical berries.
Well, it's Tropical Punch flavored energy drink with other natural flavors. The picture is an orange, a pineapple and some cherries is on the picture of the can.
That sounds tropical.
So let's see.
All right, guys, down the hatch. Okay.
It's very sugary, but it is good.
It's very sugary.
It's tasty.
So how deep are you in the amp pocket? How honest are your opinions here? Are you on amp payroll?
Here's how honestly.
Don't you fucking lie to me, Bob.
This is the first time I've ever had a sip of amp beverage.
Any kind?
Of any kind. I'm not really an energy drink drinker because they generally make me not feel great.
Gotcha.
And that includes every single kind of energy drink I've had.
Monster? How you doing? Red Bull? How you doing?
Balls?
Balls? How you doing? NOS? How you doing?
Point is, I am nowhere near Amp's pocket, and it's good. If you like Amp, I'm sure you'll enjoy this flavor.
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I like it. I've also been, and again, Bob and I, disclaimer, are not in the pockets of big energy drink, big energy drink industry. This is not a paid recommendation in any way.
Uh huh.
Although you do have some sweet swag from Amp,
yep,
and Twitch. But my opinion, at least, is unbiased. Unlike Bob here, who's a dirty journalist.
Uh-huh.
Clearly.
Yeah.
In the pocket big energy drink. Yeah. My opinion is I feel like it tastes like somebody put a lightning dick inside of the Hawaiian Punch guy, and this is what happened. It's tropical.
It is for sure. It is very Hawaiian punchy.
It's a lot. I would say this. I feel like there's a little more cherry or something like that. Some sort of. I know this sounds really stupid. Red flavor. That's what I was going to say.
It's a red flavor.
There's a really strong presence of red flavor.
Whatever that is. It's got some red. It's got a whole lot of red in it.
It tastes like it's got a lot of red in it. It's like it's a heavy dose of red and a little yellow. I like
no
it.
Blue.
No
blue.
Blue. I have had, no joke, I've had most of the flavors of Amp Energy drink at some point. And I tell you what, part of the reason I did was specifically to spite Sam Pittman. Shout out to
Sam Pittman, questionable friend of the show.
Friend of the show who makes questionable decisions. I doubt he's listening to it. If you are, Sam,
Jesus Christ, give us a call, dude. We'd love to talk.
We are super worried about you. I have not heard from you in several years. I hope you're alive. The last time I talked to you, you were either trying to be a police officer or running McDonald's.
I thought it was a
or no, it was Subway. A sandwich. It was a sandwich shop. It was, or it was either was it a Quiznos or a Subway?
Oh.
But then he was like going to be promoted to manager of another restaurant instead. That'd be great. I hope that you're doing well out there, man. But anyway, he drank Monster like it was nobody's fucking business. I think he got a Monster tattoo. I can't remember if that's he's confirmed or not. He's definitely
the kind of guy who would.
Yeah, and like, I remember he had all the Monster merch that like he bought. It's not like Monster came to the store and gave it to him. He bought it because he wanted to have Monster stuff in the shop as a hookah bar that we used to work at. Athens Pyramids. Shout out to Athens Pyramids.
Friends of the show.
Former employer of the show. and so I would go out and buy Amp. And I've had, like, I would say my favorite was the yellow. The lemonade amp was really good.
I thought you liked the
purple?
No, the Dale Earnhardt flavor.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm getting to that. I'm talking standard flavors right now. Not special edition amp.
Oh.
So yellow was top, probably then purple, blue. And they all had like crazy names, like purple's like Levitate or something like that. Mm. Then the red, because you can never go wrong with the red.
Uh-huh.
And then everything below that was like, they had like a green I didn't care for. But they came out with this crazy flavor. This is the one I was talking about, called like Dale Earnhardt Swap in the Paint or something like that.
Swap in that paint?
It was like it was a Dale Earnhardt themed can. I think this is back when he was just his dad's number before he went to 88 when he was 8. And so it was just like, it was like a green can.
Well, his dad's number was 3.
Or 3. What did I say? 8?
He was 8.
He was 8.
Yeah.
And then he became 88.
Yeah.
What did I say?
His dad, he said his dad's number. And dad's number is 3.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm all twitching and amping right now. My brain's firing on all cylinders and I'm getting my wires crisscrossed. I'm JBL, dude. I'm full of misinformation. But also, how did you correct me on a NASCAR thing? Do you follow NASCAR?
I don't. I know like a base level of just about everything that I can have an entry-level conversation with enough people.
That's why you're Amaro.
But then people will start being like, oh, you know NASCAR? What do you think? I'll be like, oh, well, I'm out.
Yeah.
Fuck, I knew Dale Earnhardt was 3.
There you go. But the swap of the paint flavor was like cherry with a hint of like lime and grape or something like that. It was on paper. It should have been terrible, but it actually was really good. And then I had it twice or maybe 3 times, and then they discontinued it because it was limited edition. And gotta say, this in terms of limited edition amps, better than swapping the paint.
All right, it should be noted that Amp Energy Tropical Punch, powered by Twitch, limited edition can, is exclusive to 7-Eleven stores.
Oh dear!
So if you are looking to get in on the Amp game, you'll have to find your local 7-Eleven.
Shout out to 7-Eleven, friend of the show.
Slurpee of the show.
I actually just had a Slurpee a couple of days ago because I went to run something to Kayla at work, and there's a 7-Eleven by her office.
All 7, you're 11 by your office.
They had these limited edition NFL helmet straws. Thank you for... The fans are loving it. They had these limited edition NFL helmet straws, and the guy was like in the process of putting them out. And like most of them are Jets and Giants, because let's be real, we live in New York. And
then you saw a Bengals one.
I went through the box while he was putting them up. Like the box was on the floor that he was getting them out. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm looking for a Bengals one. He goes, in New York? I'm like, yeah. And so he's like, all right, whatever. Can you hand me a few? So I'm handing them to him.
You're just working for him.
While he's putting them in the display, I'm like rooting through the box and just handing him like 6 or 7 of them at a time so he can put them up in the display. And then I found my Bengals one and I bought it for $1 and left. I don't even know. I did get a Slurpee, so it was like $3 total or something like that. Anyway, that was a fun story. We tried Amp Energy Drink. Spent about 8 minutes talking about it.
Yep.
It's good stuff. So Bob reached his quota.
So on to Raw.
Wink. Wink. In the pocket of big energy. I'm never going to get tired
of saying it. Ethics and snack food journalism.
That's too long of a hashtag. I will get hashtag justice for real David and hashtag team queso.
I did watch that.
Did you?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Clickhole did a live thing this morning.
It's weird.
I'm not going to get too into it.
It's not that funny.
But it was weird.
It was weird and I guess enjoyable, but I watched all 20 minutes and I don't know how.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, wait. Before we get off of the Twitch thing, last thing. Hashtag amp level up is the official hashtag for the Twitch Amp Energy Drink. And while you're at it, at Bob Feckety when you tweet it. And you can win. Go to ampenergy.com/Twitch for more details on how you can win cool gear and prizes and use the hashtag Amp Level Up. And we're going to go ahead and ask it. If you do that, hashtag Amp Level Up, and then either at Bob Feckety or at Small Package POD, that would help us immensely.
Sure.
All 12 people who may or may not be listening to the show. So
anyway,
on to Raw.
On to Raw. Jesus.
So Raw was boring and lame.
Shitty.
And
Finn was hurt. They dropped the title. Bayley coming up was the coolest thing.
Bayley coming up was definitely the coolest thing. Dudley's actually retiring was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I didn't
except see that, that coming. Like, so the Dudleys come out and they're all like, "Yeah, we're thanks for having us in the ring, blah blah blah. Goodbye."
It was a great promo.
And then Chinese Stars come out and it's like, okay, they get to have like one last match and they get to beat up on the jobbers.
Also, we got to finally confirm that the real reason for the Shining Stars gimmick is that they are travel agents. I was so happy when they were like, "We booked you travel to Puerto Rico. Here's two tickets and the round trip. And also there's like retirement homes there." And they were going through all the stuff you can do in Puerto Rico. I was just glad to finally understand that Epico and Primo are now travel agents. That was very important to me. But anyway,
so yeah, they beat up on the Shining Stars, you know, Devon get the tables, what's up? And they go to get the tables, and then they get beat up by the club. And it's just like, I get it. You know, they get to put over the club, they get to, you know, let nice the heat. Club get more heel heat.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's kind of entertaining because the club beats up the Dudleys, and then Primo and Epico go in for the pin, and they actually win. So this may be the only time we'll see a Shining Stars victory.
There you go.
I
don't even remember that there was a match, but I take you at your word for it, because I'll be honest, I was in and out for Raw because it was just so bad for the most part.
Oh, man. Can we talk about how fucking terrible Titus O'Neil is on the microphone?
We talked about this a little bit with Gabe on Monday Night Raw. Shout out to Gabe Ross, friend of the show. If you don't listen to it, every Monday, immediately after Monday Night Raw, we do Monday Night Ross with Gabe. And we try to keep it short and sweet and a little more PG than the show. Although this week we totally botched the fuck out. I'll take full responsibility. I totally botched the fuck out of that. I actually mentioned it to you before the podcast. I was like, "Hey, let's try to keep it a little more PG for Gabe." And then we were like, "Yeah, let's do that." And then I immediately was like, "Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck." So my bad, everybody. But if you don't listen to Monday Night Ross. But we talked about it on Monday Night Ross, how bad Titus O'Neil was at promo work. My God, it's like he started. Didn't he like start over twice? Like I remember him starting to talk
he messed up the first line and then started over and messed it up again and then like went on to the second line that he messed up. It honestly, like, I don't think he put out a coherent sentence in that entire promo.
It was bad.
It was miserable.
And then they followed up a really shitty promo with Bob Backlund
rushing to the ring and putting on the weakest looking
an ancient man. Like, the man is old. And when I say old, I mean old. And he tries to put on the crossface chicken wing on Titus O'Neil, which is like, I'm sorry, my suspension of disbelief has limits. I will believe that Bray Wyatt and his fucking family of hoodlums can teleport Goku style into a ring because the lights went out for a second. I'll believe it. I will not believe that Bob Backlund can put Titus O'Neil on a crossface chicken wing.
And then he gets out and he slams Backlund to the ground.
And it was pretty hard.
Yeah. And then Darren comes out and he gets a tight
Clash of the Titus.
Clash of the Titus.
Really bad name. Oh, but I loved it before he got the Clash of the Titus put on him, he was like over Bob Backlund's dead body. And he's just like, "Bob, no. Bob," it's like, where were you like literally 45 seconds ago
when the man was trying to rush to the ring to fight Titus O'Neil?
And so Titus, you know, instantly eviscerated Bob Backlund, and Darren's just like, you hit Bob, and it's like, you're facing Titus is literally standing in front of you. How did Titus get the one up on you? He turns around to look at Bob Backlund again, as if somehow in the 3 seconds he wasn't looking at him, the man's alive again. Spoilers, he did. And then he turns around right into a clash of the Titus, and you get Titus and Nuke going like, "Ura, ura, ura," which normally I love. And in this case, I fucking hated it. And then he left, and it was like, well, that was a great push that Darren had.
Right? Like,
and they gave it to Titus because he's going to do something with it. Why?
And yet, entertaining people like Bo still haven't been on TV post-draft.
Dallas?
Bo Dallas, yeah.
Bo Dallas is very entertaining. Even if you don't like him, he's entertaining. When he comes out and does his Bo Leave shtick, it's still funny.
Right? Like, Raw has the better talent, you know, the better roster on paper, but they do not utilize their roster.
No, they do not. And like I said, Bayley's fight was fun. And it was neat to see her called up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she got the pop. Sasha's is gone because she's on her honeymoon / small back injury. You don't have Alberto Del Rio or Paige, which I know is like, who gives a shit, but still.
Well, Del Rio's on SmackDown.
Or is he on SmackDown?
Yeah, but you don't have Paige.
Okay. Well, regardless, that shouts out to Alberto Del Rio's relevance that I didn't even know what show he was supposed to be on.
Right.
But that being said, now you have Finn Balor, your champion, out. They immediately go back to the same well of, well, we'll just do multi-man matches to decide a winner. And, you know, they're giving away a bunch of it right off. Especially because they're not going to have a pay-per-view for another month. Backlash is SmackDown.
And so next week, this coming Monday, we're getting the new Universal Champion crowned.
Why did we have to have it so soon?
On Raw.
Why did we have to have that so soon?
I don't know. Like, they even like made a nice little thing where it's like, okay, all of these guys get to have tournaments, and then it's a Fatal 4-Way match. You know, not a tournament, but you know, they get to have their own little, you know,
several matches and whatever.
Challenge match for the Fatal 4-Way. Like, why couldn't they have set that up to be the main event of the next 4 weeks leading up to the pay-per-view, where the main event's the Fatal 4-Way?
I don't know, man.
Like,
it's just kind of, Raw has been feeling really rushed, which is weird because they have 3 hours.
Yeah, they have 3 hours that they are not utilizing. Like, you watch Raw, you put on Raw, and after the first hour, you look down, you're like, surely I'm 2 hours in. And you're like, oh, it's only been 1 hour. Then after the first hour and a half, you look down the clock and you're like, surely I'm 2 hours in.
So I'm going to go ahead and vote much to, I'm sure, your pleasure and against how I've been trying to be for the past couple months on the podcast. Let's just fuck off with the rest of Raw. I don't care. I don't want to do a recap. I don't want to talk about anything else. That show was a dumpster fire rolling downhill towards an orphanage.
Because we got a lot to talk about SmackDown.
SmackDown was fucking awesome this week.
It was so great.
And also, we're going to get to it afterwards, but talking Smack, if you're not watching that after SmackDown, you truly are missing out. You are the one missing out by not switching over to the network afterwards. So,
right off the bat, you know, it starts with a cold open of AJ Styles in the locker room talking to the people around him saying, I'm the new leader here. It's strange. We have repercussions of a match that we just saw leading into the next episode.
What? That's not WWE style at all.
Now, in all fairness, Raw, I'm sure, was struggling because they had to completely rewrite their show around the fact that Finn's shoulder got
and cut. Sasha left. Both of those.
So I'm sure they didn't enjoy the, oh, wow, we have, you know, 22 hours to rewrite our 3-hour television show.
Right.
But still.
SmackDown was so good.
So we have, you know, AJ being all on the new hot shit. And then we have Dolph, who's feeling all pissy because he lost, being like, no, fuck that. And that leads us into the show and into that fight meaning something, leading into the main event of the show. It was really basic storytelling concepts. But
they utilized everything really well. And also, having for the main event, Daniel Bryan kind of botched the line a little bit because he was like, if AJ Styles wins, he's in the match with Dean Ambrose. But if if Dolph Ziggler wins, he'll be added to the triple threat against Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense because then... Anyway. That being said, Dean on commentary was really good because he wasn't super fucking goofy. Although he came out with that foam hat at one point, and I kind of eye rolled a little bit, but it was
They're literally in a casino.
It was kind of the backstage one was funny, and I'm just glad he didn't come out in the hat.
Yeah,
to the ring,
and he did immediately give it away to the first fans who he could.
Right, so that was fine. I liked his presence on commentary. You know, he's been a little more serious on commentary. I mean, leading up to the triple threat, the Shield triple threat, him on commentary before the brand split and everything was great because it was finally like Dean being serious. Like, I'm here. I'm a fighter. Mm-hmm. So they still let him be goofy a little bit, but I like that he's a little more serious.
Yeah, a bit more cocky.
Ziggler and AJ put on a great match.
Oh, of course, we're jumping all the way to the end of the show. The show started with the introduction of the tag team belts and the women's belt.
A lot of people have been shitting on the tag team belts.
I think the tag team belts look A+.
I agree with you. Especially
since I think that the Raw tag team belts look C fucking minus.
The copper pennies?
Yeah, they look ugly. They really do.
They look like color bronze, of the show.
You know, they honestly look like bronze prizes. They're like, okay, so these guys are in third place in your tag division? Like
versus the SmackDown ones, while silver and not gold, fit the theme of the show.
Yeah.
White and blue.
And yeah, it's white and blue. Those are the show's colors. You know, the blue leather is muted. It's not
crazy popping.
Yeah. It's
and the women's belt. Also,
the women's belt looks just like the Raw women's belt, but you know, blue themed.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's nice. It's because again, that one is the SmackDown women's belt. Just like we have the Raw women's belt. It's not the world title versus the universal title.
Right.
If you're going to name them different things, they shouldn't look identical.
Fair.
Whereas the women's belts are named identical, therefore they look identical.
Right. No, I definitely agree with you. So they announced both of those. They announced that there's going to be women fighting to eventually lead up to a match for the women's title, which I'm assuming will be probably at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. It's the six-pack challenge at the pay-per-view.
Whatever. I don't know if they get drunk and forget what these words mean, but sure. Whatever. The
six-pack.
The semantics of the name of the match aside, okay? It's good booking for the most part. Yeah. And then also, another fun thing, Heath Slater is allowed to find a partner throughout the show. If he can find a partner, he can enter the tag team tournament for the new tag team titles. And if he can win the tag team titles, he gets a contract. Now, he goes through a lot of choices. Some of them were kind of silly. Like when he went to Arn Anderson. I was just like, and Arn Anderson was like, I'm too old to fight. And then he's like, you're my last hope. And he goes,
wasn't your first choice?
And then he's like, fuck you, kid, and walks away. And he's like, wait, you just said you're too old to do it anyway. Why would you be someone's first choice? You're an old man. But it was funny. And at the end, he gets Mayor McRhino.
Right? And... I mean, I like it. You know, they were just kind of mini feuding
How funny would it be if it wound up being American Alpha versus Rhino and Heath Slater in the final? And because of like fuckery by the Vaudevillains or somebody, Heath Slater and Rhino won the titles. He got his contract and then like lost them like, you know, 2 days later.
Well, so the interesting thing is they said it was an 8-man tag tournament or an 8-team tag tournament.
We've seen 6 plus...
six Rhino plus Rhino Owen Slater. So there's still the mystery eighth team.
Who do you think it could be? Is there rumors?
I read somewhere, I can't remember who, but it's nothing special. And I don't think it was anything substantial.
Maybe they call up Revival? Or another tag team from NXT?
Maybe. We'll have to see. But we already have a couple results from the tag tournament because it started with Usos
defeating
Ascension.
Ascension, right.
Yes, the Usos v. Ascension.
I'm sorry, Ascension. We shouldn't have forgot your name. Ascension
kind of looked strong.
Yeah, I mean, they did not look bad. They didn't look bad. They didn't look great, but they didn't look bad, which that's another thing I've appreciated about SmackDown is... Raw has utilized squash matches really well with Nia Jax and Braun Strowman. But they still sometimes feed up their mid-card and lower tier talent and just offer them up as sacrifices to the A-listers. And I feel like now, unfortunately for them, there's a lot of times where like Sami Zayn gets fed to Seth Rollins. That sucks because Sami Zayn's a great talent. On SmackDown, they at least book it with enough time that no one looks bad. Ascension didn't go out there and look like total goofs who don't know how to wrestle. They look strong. The Usos just look stronger. That's a better booking in my decision.
And then the second tag match is a really good match. It was AA versus Breezango.
And Breezango really looks strong.
Phenomenal. There were points where I was like, honestly, is Breezango going to go over?
There was a chance. We both said that.
I'm a little upset because I was hoping that they would like make it further along in the tournament, maybe make it to the finals to get knocked out.
Tyler's like shadow thing he's going on, like the stubble is a good look for them as a heel tag team. I love that they come out and, you know, matching outfits. I love the backstage segments. If you had told me like a year ago that Tyler Breeze and Fandango would be a tag team and I would care about them, I would have been like, well, WWE has clearly gone off the rails and is now mowing through the amusement park, killing everyone. But no, dude, they're the Zoolander tag team and they're great. I really wish they would have went with Fabreeze instead of Breezango, but hey, dude, I'm feeling it. They're fun. And American Alpha definitely looks really strong by beating them because Breezango looked great. And by not booking all, you know, surprise, by not booking all of your talent that isn't the top tier looking like shit, you can make people look better when they beat the lower tier guys.
Yeah.
Who fucking knew? Pro wrestling. I sound so angry, but I'm so happy. Yeah.
But so next week we will get Slater and Rhino teaming up in ring versus somebody.
Nikki Bella won.
Yeah, Nikki. So Nikki Karma. They never officially had that match because Nikki walked out. Everyone's like, "Yay, Nikki!" Carmella walks out and immediately just starts pummeling Nikki
in the middle of an interview with Renee Young in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, because Nikki could never get heel heat right now.
Yeah.
And Carmella is going to have a hard time getting fucking face cheers.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of thought everyone remember she was with Enzo and Cass, even though she's not with them now. And then she came out and was like, I'm fabulous. And then everyone was like, who are you? And then they were like, oh, wait, never mind. Rewrite this. She is
a bad person. But, you know, I think it'll be easier for her to get over as a heel.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, you know. So
let's get to the important thing that happened on Tuesday night. Ding, ding, ding. So SmackDown was definitely the winner this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, then something magical happened. And now I can talk to animals. It's totally cool, but also a secret. And you know what? Life's never been the same since. So Talking Smack is a show that airs on the WWE Network immediately following SmackDown in USA.
It's only a half hour long. You should watch it.
It's a lot of fun. And stuff happens on there that matters.
Yeah, we have Nikki was getting interviewed and got attacked again
by Carmella. It was great. So if you're not watching Talking Smack, which is another thing that sets it apart from Raw, is the fact that there's this like post show that is kayfabe, mostly, sometimes a little out of kayfabe, but mostly kayfabe, and it's, you know, Renee talking to the people.
Yeah, and allows the talent to get mic time and
which is great because let's be honest, tell
stories and make you more invested in their matches.
You know, the longer you can be on the mic talking, the more character development you have, which is why people who do commentary like Kevin Owens and sometimes Dean Ambrose and sometimes Seth Rollins have way more fleshed out characters after they do that, as opposed to people who only have a minute and a half in ring.
Yeah, like to Cruz. Talk.
Right. So The Miz and Maryse come to talk while Daniel Bryan is talking. And a lot of the internet is buzzing because a lot of people are saying it felt like a work that turned into a shoot. We will never probably know But it should be noted that after this, I just went onto the WWE shop and everything from The Miz has been removed except for one piece of memorabilia, like an autographed memorabilia. There is nothing else Miz on WWE shop. And I went on a Twitter and a bunch of people were like, whoa, what happened to all the Miz stuff on WWE shop? I'm really hoping that he's not going to get shit canned for what happened. But Daniel Bryan starts talking to him about how he felt more proud of Apollo Crews than The Miz for his win at SummerSlam. The Miz then kind of uses some industry terms, which they don't usually do in kayfabe interviews. You know, and it's, you know, he said, I won clean. It wasn't dirty. I won clean and I hit him with my finisher, which are clean, dirty, and finisher aren't necessarily moves they usually do in, say in character. You know what I mean? Those are words that usually are in shoot interviews. So he says, I won clean with my finisher. I hit him with the skull crushing finale and got the pin. And Daniel Bryan proceeds to say that WWE has evolved. There's more indie wrestling and that he views Miz's style as the soft old WWE style. And then says, to be honest, I am more proud of Apollo Crews because I feel like you wrestle like a coward. Okay. At this point, Renee Young's face kind of goes, ooh. Maryse starts to look, oh my God, things aren't going according to plan. And the Miz has a vein that tries to escape out of his forehead like a face hugger alien. Okay. And he proceeds to get real fired up and tell Daniel Bryan, you're the coward because you promised all of your fans you would come back for this Intercontinental title. And what did you do? You left. If you love wrestling so much, why don't you get in the ring? Daniel Bryan then, looking kind of upset himself, says, I would if they'd let me. I would if I could. You know that. To which The Miz goes on a rant, justifiably, that he is a company man who has been here for 10 plus years and never takes time off. He's never been injured. He only is away when he's working on company projects, and that he's not the coward. D-Bry is the coward. And that this is his title and that he is giving it relevance again. And that it's a prestigious title and that it's... And Daniel Bryan gets up and walks away. Maryse kind of goes from shocked...
You missed to the, like, best line. He's like, why don't you go... If you don't want to wrestle so bad, go back to the bingo halls with your indie friends.
Oh, yeah. That line was fucking dope. I was just, you know, gratuitous sexuality up ahead, but I was just coming in my pants, dude. That interview was so great. And Maryse, Kayla pointed this out because I showed it to Kayla, my wife. Shout out to Kayla, friend of the show. Kayla pointed out that, like, Maurice's face goes from, like, shocked, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening, to super proud of her husband. Like, super proud of standing up for himself. Renee just gets, like, fearful and awkward, especially as D-Bry walks away and Miz starts slamming stuff. But if you have not seen this video, it is readily available on the internet. Find it and fucking watch it. Talking Smack may even just be available for replay on the network. You have to watch the full thing. It's like 5 minutes. If there's a 2-minute version going around, find the full, like, 4.5-minute version. Because this segment was incredible. And to everyone out there who does not hashtag respect The Miz, I'm trying to get that going on Twitter, guys. You can go ahead and throw that around. If you don't, what you have to understand is I've had a few people who have jokingly said, oh, he was the Real World Road Rules Challenge guy. How could I respect that? This dude has done so many interviews in his childhood home, in his old room, decked out in all his WWE, WWF, you know, AWA, etc., wrestling memorabilia, talking about how he just wanted to get enough fame and notoriety to parlay that into a chance to wrestle for the WWF, WWE. That is fucking heart and dedication. This dude is a mark. He loves fucking wrestling. And he used all of his fame to get to an opportunity to try out for WWE and turn it into a career. He's been there for a decade. Who else besides, like, him and fucking R-Truth will stick around and be put into a chicken suit and beat up by Dolph Ziggler in a KFC ad? You know what I mean? Do you see John Cena doing that?
Even R-Truth left for a little.
Yeah, dude. And The Miz, and you know what? And some people are like, well, he has some time off. It's like, yeah, when he's working on WWE movies, because he's one of the only people there who can actually act who's in the company. Like, yeah, Rock can act, but he's off on his own now. You know? Miz is one of the few guys under contract who can act for their little fucking movie projects they want to do. And it's like, But otherwise, he's always there, dude. He like he never gets hurt. He never takes time off. He does all the stupid shit they want him to do. And you know what? I felt like for Daniel Bryan to call him a coward, he had every right to get upset. I know that I'm being a mark right now, and it, maybe this wasn't a shoot. Maybe this was all planned, and maybe we're all just fucking gullible. That forehead vein, to me, did not seem like a work. That seemed like this dude getting pissed and shooting on us. But who knows? I mean, we could all just be marks right now playing it up. But that said, that promo was unbelievable. People have been, you know, saying it's 2016's pipe bomb, you know, like CM Punk's pipe bomb, just like saying that's the pipe bomb promo. It's unfortunate it happened on Talking Smack, which happens after SmackDown airs on the network, but people are still talking about it. And I mean, you watched it. What did you think about the promo?
I mean, I think it's some of the best acting we've seen in WWE. I don't want to say in a long time, because we need to still give props to Xavier Woods' acting during the Wyatt feud. But it's some of the most real. He raises, you know, real emotions, real.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how I would expect somebody to really act if, you know, their boss just calls him a coward to their face. He's going to fucking bitch him out. No,
especially the fact that he called Apollo. He said he was more proud of Apollo Crews, who we can all agree sucks. I mean, he can do a couple of cool things. The standing moonsault or whatever is one of them, but a dude sucks on the mic. He has no fucking character right now. I would take that personally. And when Kayla, you know, was kind of confused why Miz would be that upset if he was a company man, I was like, well, Kayla, imagine if you worked for your company for 10 years and then somebody who was like new to the company came in and the two of you got the company out of a situation together or something. You put on a, like, it's hard to equate normal jobs to putting on a wrestling match, but something happened where both of you put equal work into it. And then the company was like, oh, wow. Person who's new here and isn't great at their job, you did so good, here's some vacation time or something, and here's some respect. And that they didn't give you any of that respect and instead said, you know, well, you kind of are shitty at your job, but thanks for doing good on this one. And so and that analogy, which I know doesn't, it's, you know, a little apples and oranges, but she even was like, oh wow, yeah, that would probably piss me off and make me speak out too. So who knows, man? You know, we may never know if that was a work or a shoot, but damn, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Quick, before we get out of here, suck the CWC's dick.
The past 2 weeks have not had any monumental matches like we've had with Gargano versus Ciampa or Cedric versus Ibushi.
Right.
But this week we saw some solid in-ring work. TJ Perkins versus our Gargano. Perkins is a guy that we should be looking at. He's got some really good moves. Who else we saw? We saw
I'm a little behind. You're blanking. You're a lot further than I am. But I will say that CWC has
Rich been some Swan of the, versus
love Rich Swan.
Who did he fight? Lince Dorado.
Okay.
That was a really good match. It's interesting to note. Somebody posted. The history between all three matches.
And
Daniel Bryan on commentary brings it up a couple times, during the Dorado Swan match. He's like, you know, these guys know each other so well. They scout each other so well that they can do a lot of counters and stuff to each other's moves. And they have apparently faced each other 27 times in ring.
Oh, wow.
Prior to this match. They actually do know each other well and know each other's styles. The second match was Drew Gulak versus Zack Sabre Jr.
And I'm assuming ZBS won.
Yes. That was probably the best match of the three, honestly. Mm. Some really good moves. And another comment I found online, a fun little Easter egg about the match, because they both start, you know, standing in the ring, and the ref's like, all right, shake hands. And Gulak's like, I'm not going to shake your hand, doing like all heel work. I'm, you know, disrespecting his opponent and everything. And then at the end, he loses, and, you know, they're like, shake hands. And Zack Sabre Jr.'s like, come on, dude, just shake my fucking hand. And he like very quickly does like this handshake thing and then walks out. Apparently he wrestles in Evolve, and he's like part of this faction in Evolve where like you have to like really earn the respect of this faction to be able to like do this handshake thing.
And he gave it to Zack Sabre.
Like, very begrudgingly. You have to know a whole lot of wrestling that I didn't. That's still cool. But yeah, no, it's definitely cool. A fun little nod to his other work.
I just love with Cruiserweight Classic, and I know we've talked about this before. I don't know if on the podcast or not, but just how good they are at still putting story nuggets in there.
Well, yeah, and that leads to the last match, is the Gargano versus TJP match, because they recorded this, you know, they taped it
right
last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever, and then on Saturday they had NXT
before the Cruiserweight Classic.
Before
it aired
Saturday, you know, this aired yesterday. This aired Wednesday,
yeah,
and Saturday was NXT Live, and there's a tag team match between Ciampa Gargano versus the Revival.
Right.
And the whole angle of that match is that the Revival worked Gargano's knee till it got kayfabe injured, and then they lost the tag team match.
Okay.
Spoilers for Revival, or for the NXT TakeOver. So in the CWC match, which then aired 3 days later on Wednesday, 4 days later, whatever.
Right.
You see Gargano. They included a clip from TakeOver, you know, in like a promo package. And then they show him like backstage wrapping his knee up, and they spend half the match on commentary talking about how he injured his knee and how, you know, what's he going to do with his weakened knee and how all of the
That's crazy.
TJP's attacks are going after his knee. So like, clearly they, you know, knew the results of the match and knew how they're going to book it and everything in advance and told everyone, but it was just so well done that we've created this proper WWE universe,
right,
where regardless of what actually gets taped, what shows up in front of the audience's eyes,
it
plays out a story.
It's crazy that they were able to work all of it in the proper order, despite it being
for the audience.
Yeah, for the audience.
Despite it being like out of order for how they produced it.
Exactly, it's really cool.
And I'm sure. Well, that being said, they like he did have his knee wrapped, but it was like under his knee pad, so you couldn't really see like the tape. So I was gonna say, for the people in the crowd, they might be like, why is his knee injured? I don't remember his knee being injured. You know, this is 2 weeks before TakeOver.
They can make it up.
But on commentary, obviously, you know, they can't hear Ronaldo and Daniel Bryan in, you know, Full Sail.
Cruiserweight Classic is just so good. Everyone, if you're not watching it, really, you should. It's the best wrestling on TV. By the way, this just reminded me that we did not give over the TakeOver results. We haven't watched it. We're a little behind, and we apologize for that. But for the people at home, Baba, do you mind hearing TakeOver results?
Yeah, I mean, I know most of them anyway.
So Ty Dillinger defeated Wesley Blake in a singles match. The Authors of Pain defeated TM61 in a tag team match. Austin Aries defeated No Way Jose by submission. Ember Moon defeated Billy Kay in a singles match. Bobby Roode and his
glorious
Gloria, his amazing theme song made a debut, right? For
NXT? Yeah, it was his in-ring debut.
And he defeated Andrade Almas, which is kind of crazy because, Almas is also really new.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy that he lost to Bobby
Roode. They're starting to run out of people who can go over other people down in NXT.
Yeah, I know. They got to get some. They got some new recruits coming up, though. I saw a thing where they had like 10 new guys that were coming in and like a couple new women are coming in. The Revival defeated Gargano and Ciampa, which also their Cruiserweight Classic match was super dope. Make sure to check that out. Asuka defeated Bayley in what is Bayley's send-off show from NXT because now she's main roster. And Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Samoa Joe and won the NXT championship, which a lot of people think that means that Samoa Joe should be coming up fucking day now.
I heard rumors.
And now Finn's hurt.
In Joe's contract... that he's getting paid WWE money to only work NXT.
So he just may not come up.
I basically heard that.
But I feel like he would want to.
Yes and no. He's getting paid WWE money to only work 5 dates a month.
Mm. So he may not come up.
Like, think about that. That's the world's cushiest job.
It is. I mean, there's definitely a lot of merch opportunities if he comes up, like more than NXT. Sure,
but still.
That means he's got to do a ton more house shows.
A ton more work. It's like quadrupling the amount of work he'd have to do.
Rough. I guess we'll never see Samoan Hit Squad.
I mean, shed a tear. Again, this is me reading internet rumors, so who fucking knows
no, what's dude, real. Internet rumors are gospel.
But
you know my opinion on internet rumors. They're all 100% true until proven full.
I mean, the dude's getting older. He's been around the block. This could just be like his nice little home stretch. Like the retirement home of wrestling. Just be the big boss of NXT.
One last thing I just want to say real quick.
Okay.
I really wish I hadn't seen what the Amp Tropical Punch looked like. Because as I went to pour a little more into my cup, I was like, that's pretty good. I actually have a little more. I went to pour it, and it looks like it's so pink. Like, it is ridiculously pink.
Oh, pink?
Dude, did you not... I'm going to pour this into this cup. I want you to look at the liquid as it leaves.
Okay.
I didn't want to see that.
It's not as pink as... It's darker. More red.
It looks... Hey, man.
It looks just like a slight shade above a Hawaiian punch.
It looks more like magenta. It looks like, to me, it looks like liquid form of cotton candy going into the cup. I wish I had, because also, like, the more I taste of it, the more that red taste is just that red taste is punching through.
I'm very glad that I did not drink an entire can.
I still enjoyed it. I definitely feel like, I hope that there's not bigger cans than this. How much is in this can? How much? 16 fluid ounces? Christ! Who could drink that much? I know that I'm going to sound old as fuck, but I'm like, back in my day, I feel like this came in a 12-ounce can like a soda.
No. Energy drinks are almost always been the big cans.
They've always been this big?
Yeah, Monsters are that big.
Was I terrible in college or something?
Yeah, yes.
Oh.
I mean, you're down what, 100?
I am. I am down a lot of weight.
Like...
Although I didn't drink. I still didn't drink a lot of sugary shit in college as much. I mean, I had energy drinks from time to time, but I tried to avoid it. Anyway, we're getting fucking way off topic, dude. And also, we've been recording for an hour and 20 minutes. Let's go ahead and just wrap this shit up. Although, I feel like this has been a very entertaining podcast.
I am. It's just SmackDown was just too good. SmackDown was just too
and,
good.
And week. Amp energy drink. Hashtag... Amp the level.
Friends of the show. Amp energy drink.
Amp level up. At Bob Fackety, at Small Package. Tweet it and win shit or something. It's something about winning shit. Buy the cans at 7-Eleven exclusively. You can follow Bob on Twitter, at Bob Fackety. You can follow me, at CB Poindexter. You can follow both of us at Small Package POD. That's POD like podcast or the band. And make sure to hashtag respect the Miz. Do that for me. I would appreciate that. Anyway, we're going to get out of here, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week, Monday Night Raw, and also Small Package again. Although, man, if we keep doing these hour 20 plus shows, maybe we got to be at least a medium package. All right, everybody, we're getting the fuck out of here. Thank you so much. Have a good night. We'll see you next week. And remember, this is Small Package.
Bye.